Welcome back to Skin the Surface. My name is Dr. Rina Allow, and I'm your host for today's episode. The COVID-19 pandemic has really shed light on various challenges for millions of Americans. On this week's episode, I'm excited to be joined by Dr. Monica Maloof to really dive into healthcare disparities and put a spotlight on racial and ethnic disparities that we have encountered as a result of this pandemic. Dr. Maloof is an internal medicine physician and assistant professor of medicine at Loyola Medicine in Chicago, Illinois. Dr. Maloof is a well-known advocate for health equity and social justice through her efforts not only within the medical field itself, as well as through her incredible informative blog titled Dr. Tales. Welcome, Dr. Maloof.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's dive right into this. Doctors around the world are encountering new barriers to providing appropriate healthcare and guidance to our patients in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, whether it be loss of insurance, hospitals, and emergency rooms at even capacity, or even changes in one's ability to finance their own healthcare expenses. Dr. Maloof, in your opinion, how has our healthcare system, if at all, shifted to compensate for these changes?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think that, honestly, I would say that what the pandemic has done is really uncover a lot of the deficiencies in our system that already existed. And we're just starting to understand some of those deficiencies better as a result of the pandemic. So we always had issues with health disparities, right? We, for decades, we've known that Black and Hispanic patients and patients from Native American backgrounds have worse outcomes when it comes to a variety of diseases, but also they have less access to a lot of healthcare services. And what the pandemic has done is it's kind of highlighted areas where we have those deficiencies. And as a result of that, I think a lot of institutions and individuals are asking themselves, okay, how can we now improve our system to better address those needs? So I think we're still a little bit far behind, but at least we're kind of a lot of recognition is being drawn and attention is being drawn to the areas of deficiency.
Right, right. What changes do you think still need to be made?
Ooh, that's a loaded question
definitely.
I think that the big areas that I focus on in my advocacy work, one of them is access. Right, people being able to access the care they need when they need it at an affordable rate. So a lot of that is an issue or a problem related to insurance. So a lot of our patients are underinsured or uninsured. And we saw that during the pandemic, people who are insured through their jobs, a lot of them lost their insurance when they lost their jobs due to the pandemic. Another big issue with access is being able to see the doctor that you need to see in a reasonable time frame. So for example, if you live in rural America and there's not a dermatologist within 100 miles of you, that is a big access issue for patients in that setting. So I think access is a big issue, affordability, and then also just equitable treatment. All patients getting the same treatment when they encounter the healthcare system, regardless of their race, religion, gender, and all those things. So I think that those are kind of the big areas that we still have a lot of work to do.
Right. I'm really glad you actually talked about or mentioned access to care, because I found that in my clinic too, that a lot of my patients are coming in and they're concerned about me doing certain procedures because they've, lost their insurance and now they're self-pay. With limited resources, they're definitely at a disadvantage and have less access to healthcare. I think that some people may argue, well, we now have telehealth, or we have that as a service. Do you find that telehealth has improved access to care? Do you feel like it's a great resource? Do you think you are still able to have that patient-physician relationship or interaction through telehealth?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about telehealth. So I guess yes and no. I think that in some ways it has opened up access to care. I think for some patients who have well-controlled disease who just need a quick check-in or have a concern that they need to ask their doctor that may not necessitate a full visit, I think telehealth can be a really great resource and asset. So, for example, I have patients who are diabetic who check their home sugars regularly and just want to call and give me an update, and that is a great utilization. Or even for patients who have simple rashes and things along those lines. However, I think at the same time, there's a lot of more complex disease processes that are very difficult to manage via telehealth. And I think you kind of mentioned the interaction, the patient-physician relationship. Definitely mental health issues, building that connectivity, those relationships is a lot harder with telehealth.
Right, right. I think there tends to be a disconnect sometimes.
For sure. Especially when you're trying to give more personalized care for patients who are struggling with their mental health. I think it becomes a little more challenging to kind of build that, you know, bond over telehealth. The last thing I'll say about telehealth is, too, is that there also is a lot of inequity in there. What I've realized is that I have patients who, a lot of them don't have really stable internet access at home. So that is a barrier when it comes to telehealth. Additionally, I have what I've noticed is that a lot of patients who share their home environment, so people who have multiple people living in the same home, they don't have a lot of privacy. So I'm having people call me from their car, people call me from their job while they're standing in the bathroom, trying to do a telehealth visit because if they're at home, they have kids and their husband and their mother, and they don't have that privacy to have that intimate physician encounter. So there's a lot of issues with equity related to telehealth, and I think that that taps into some of these conversations about broadband equity and broadband access in America, which I'm glad that we're having that conversation as a nation.
Right. No, definitely. And just talking about different other types of disparities that we're even seeing for our listeners out there. What I actually, when I was thinking and researching this topic, I found it was interesting that JAMA Internal Medicine published an article back in August 2020 revealing that, I know you briefly touched upon this, but Black, Latino, and American Indian and Alaskan Native people were, you know, there's a different, they're disproportionately hospitalized for COVID-19. And so there was a considerable disparity in the prevalence of COVID-19 across these certain racial and ethnic subgroups. And I think that this is something that has really come to light, especially during this pandemic. So Dr. Maloof, what are your thoughts on this? Do you find that certain ethnicities or races from your experience and in clinical practice are at increased risk for poor outcomes when faced with COVID-19 infection?
I have seen that play out in my practice. I think what I'd like to clarify is that epidemiologic research and a lot of this data has shown us that it's really not race so much as the effects of racism that has led to these inequities. So what we've seen is that people, a lot of people in Black and Hispanic and Native American neighborhoods work high-risk essential worker frontline jobs, so they're exposed more. They are statistically more likely to be uninsured or underinsured, and that's been shown in a lot of different studies. And then on top of that, they are also more statistically more likely to carry chronic diseases like diabetes and hypertension and obesity. And all of these things can be tied to a multitude of socioeconomic and racial community factors, you know, what we call the social determinants of health that affect these communities. There's a lot of factors that cause that, but what that's happened collectively is that these, you know, decades of, you know, marginalization and inequitable treatment has led to these communities being working in high-risk jobs and having, at baseline, you know, worse health outcomes. So then when the COVID pandemic happened, we were seeing a lot of Black, Latino, Hispanic, Latinx patients and Native Americans hospitalized at a higher rate and getting, you know, much sicker. And then on the reverse side of that, we're also seeing those same populations when the vaccine rolled out having less access to the vaccine because of similar sort of inequities in our medical distribution system.
Yeah, no, I definitely. I think that even among the homeless population, too, I think that there's issue with, especially in Philadelphia, making sure that they have adequate PPE because there was a shortage of PPE early on for everyone, but especially for these groups of individuals. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because I think we're all focused on this is, you know, these groups of people because of their race or ethnicity are at more risk of developing complications. But in reality, it's also, there's a lot of other factors that come into play. So just to piggyback off of that, what changes or strides do you think our healthcare system can make to account for these disparities or what has been made?
Yeah, so I think that we have a lot of work to do as a healthcare system. Like I said, this year has really highlighted the areas where we have problems. One big area of advocacy that I work on is fighting for single payer healthcare, which I think is a really big way that can answer a solution to answer the access question. That's a bigger policy level issue that I think we need to work on as a nation, but I think at the individual level, I think we all need to reexamine our own practices, our own clinics, our own institutions, and how we can make our systems more equitable, more patient-centered, and more safe so that we are not, perpetuating these disparities. So what I've seen is, some colleagues in other systems is do internal surveys, internal analyses, and see, is there cases where, I have a friend at a hospital in Minneapolis where they take care of a large Somali Muslim population, and they just did a survey, like, are we treating this Muslim population do they feel they're being treated as well as our other patients? How are their satisfaction scores compared to our white patients? And that's a simple way that you can, doctors in their own health systems can ask questions of, are they providing fair and equitable treatment, and how can we make our systems better so that we don't continue to perpetuate a lot of these disparities that are embedded in our infrastructures and in our systems.
Yeah, Dr. Maloof, that's a really good point, because I hear that quite a bit from some of my colleagues who are in healthcare, and also just, from patients even before the pandemic, I heard this, that some individuals unfortunately don't feel as though that they're receiving the same care than other individuals, depending on where they live, or, they may even feel as though they're not receiving the same care because of, the color of their skin or where they grew up. And so it's really important to do these types of surveys that you had mentioned to really pinpoint exactly how can we improve as a healthcare system.
It's not that, any of us are, I know we're all physicians at the pool, we're all working extremely hard, especially in the setting of this pandemic. I think it's just a recognition that much as we learn in other areas of medicine, that there's always room for improvement. There's always ways that we can be doing things better. So if you're tapping into that, if you're hearing patients say, well, I don't know, I feel like I wasn't treated right because of my race, because I'm Black, because I'm Hispanic, because of my religion or my gender, then that would be a good way to kind of take it to your leadership team, take it to your management and say, hey, why don't we do a survey? Why don't we ask ourselves these tough questions and reexamine the way that we deliver care, and can we do that better?
You found it ways to compensate for changes in, your interactions with patients, despite all the changes that have been happening with access to care and telemedicine, and anything that you have found to be helpful, or any, recommendations for other providers?
I think the answer is really recognizing as a physician that there's a lot of access issues, and especially in the setting of the pandemic where a lot of people have been afraid to leave their homes and are trying to get care and also are operating on a limited budget. So with all that in mind, I try to do my best to communicate with my patients however serves them best. Mm-hmm. Now that does require some sacrifice on my part. So if patients prefer to send me messages through my chart or do a telehealth visit, even if I don't think that's the ideal platform, I'll let them know. I'll say, hey, I think this would be better in a real person visit. But if they're what works best for them is usually what I try to accommodate, recognizing the circumstances that we're in. So, so that's really what I've tried to do this year. And, I say that at the risk of, a lot of that does require a little more commitment and sacrifice from the physicians. We're giving up a little bit of our, preferred method of practice, our preferred method of communication. But ultimately, it is about trying to do what we can to serve our patients and get them the care they need and the best way for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. I think with, just learning to have additional communication methods and trying to improve access of care in any way that we can. For our listeners out there, how can they take an active role and participate in improving our healthcare system? Is there anything that they can do on an individual level or in a group level that you recommend?
Yeah, great question. So I would say my first question would be to think about the level of the intervention you want to do. Like, where do you want to make an impact? And it can be within your own practice, at your own clinic or hospital, or it can be bigger than that. So figure out, if you see an area of deficiency, like, hey, I think we could be doing something better, Think about where you want to intervene, and even small interventions in your own clinic and hospital can make a big difference. Most hospitals these days have leaders in equity, diversity and equity. So reaching out to that person can be really helpful and a good starting place. And if you don't have that at your hospital, consider, founding a, creating a diversity and equity or diversity and inclusion committee. Outside of that, I think that going a little bit bigger than that, the next big step would be to get involved with some of your local, some of our regional and national healthcare organizations. So for internal medicine, like ACP and SGIM, our big national organizations have advocacy wings and action groups that are always helping direct and guide doctors on how to influence and advocate for change. And I'm sure the same exists, with the dermatologic associations as well. You know, tapping into those organizations, a lot of doctors have already set in place really easy, created systems. So it makes it easier for doctors to just jump on board and participate and help influence some of that change. And they can also be a good starting place to do national advocacy if that's something that you're interested in as well.
Yeah, no, great idea. And dermatology has, different groups, the American Academy of Dermatology, there's advocacy organizations such as SkinPAC that, providers and patients can both get involved in just to have a more, active role or proactive role in their own healthcare. Any other advice that you have for any of our listeners out there any thoughts you have on this topic? I really want to, I can talk all day about this. It's such a big topic.
It is. It's a big topic. And a lot of times I would say my best advice is it can be overwhelming as an individual physician when you're already so busy with your practice and your family and all the other obligations that we all have it can feel overwhelming to know where to start or how to get involved. So what I say is just remember that, our voices are really powerful as physicians, not just at our institutions, but in society and our communities. And merely just stepping up, speaking out, paying attention when you see these inequities taking place can have a huge impact on the people around you and the places where you live and work. So even, small little things can go a long way. And I would encourage you to reflect on that and realize that you don't have to take on a massive project to be able to help change the culture of medicine for the better, to make it more equitable. So I encourage and empower you all to reflect on that as you go into work and notice places where we can all be doing things a little bit better.
Excellent. Well, that's all we have for today. I want to give a big thanks to our special guest, Dr. Monica Maloof, on discussing this very important. I believe that we should all be proactive consumers in our healthcare and positive advocates for healthcare equality and minimize healthcare disparities that we have discussed today. We want to really hear your thoughts. So follow up on Instagram and Twitter at Skin the Surface Pod. And don't forget to follow Dr. Maloof at Maloof MD. As always, check out our website and blog for helpful links and resources. Stay safe, podcasters.